Dalit. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara had been speaking about once we makbid not to be motzi diba huksil, that person should avoid sharing any besuos raos, any bad news. So the Gemara continues with the ma'isa on the top of Dalita. Rav bar achua de Rabbi Chia ubar achte. Rav, his mother and father were they had a half brother that were they shared a half brother. In other words, Rav was the son of Rabbi Chia's half brother, and he was also the son of Rabbi Chia's half sister. So Rabbi Chia had a brother and a sister, and they married each other. They were half brothers, half sisters. They married each other. They themselves were not related. They were just related through Rabbi Chia, the half brother. They had married each other, and Rav was their child. So Gemara says Rav bar Achua de Rabbi Chia, who was also bar Achte, also again the son of his sister. Kisalak lahasim when he went to Eretz Yisrael. Amarlei, so Rabbi Chia says to Rav, Aibu Kaim, is your father alive? Meaning my brother, is your father alive? Amarlei, Ema Kayames, why don't you ask me if my mother's alive, if your sister's alive, which implied that his father wasn't alive. He didn't want to tell him his father died, so he says, ask me if my mother's alive. Amarlei, Ema Kayames, is your mother alive? Amarlei, Ave Kayam, did I not tell you my father's not alive? Which means my mother's not alive either. So he didn't want to say that his mother or father were nifter, but he implied it through these responses. So that was the conversation. So we see this is yet another example where a person should not share any bad news. So Gemara then says, Amarlei Lishmaya. So once Rabbi Chia understood that his brother and sister had both passed away, and he only found out about this now, this was called the Shmur Rechoka. When you find out about a relative who passes away after 30 days, it's called a Shmur Rechoka. So Gemara says, he told his Shmai, he told his attendant, Chalot li menali, remove my shoe, one of the Nihuge Avelis, to remove the shoe. And then bring my kelim and bring my clothing. We'll go to the Beis Hamerchatz. And even though rechitza is one of the things that are usher to an avel, the avelus that one needs to be noeg only for shmur rechoka, just for a moment, he took off a shoe. He was yotze his chiv avelus, and then he went on to take a bath, implying that the avelus was already over. So Gemara says we learn from this discussion shma mina tlas. We learn three dinim. Shma mina avel usher benila sandal, that an avel cannot wear a shoe. He took off his shoe. Shmamina Shmur Rechoka Eino Noheges El Yom Echad, that a Shmur Rechoka, when a person hears about a relative who passes away, you only have to keep one day of avail, it's not 7 days. And thirdly, Shmamina Mikses Hayom Kikula, that even just practicing avail, even part of the day, is considered as if you practice avail the entire day, Mikses Hayom Kikula. So these are three different dinim we learn from this particular Maisa. Gemara now says, "Hahu da'amar duni daini." There's a particular person who would always use the lashon of duni daina. What he used that language of judge me. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Hahu da'ave kamar duni daini bechol davar." It's around halfway down the narrow Rashi's. Bechol davar master matin, any type of business dealing, this guy would always say, "Shahaya lo im adam hayomer tamid baladin." Let's go to court. He'd always say, "Let's go to court." You want to talk to me? Let's go to court. We'll talk in court. We're not talking one-on-one. Everything he wants to do is take in court. So he did a little research to find out who this guy was, who would always say Duni Daini. And Army, they said, Shma Mina Midan Kasi. This guy must come from Dun, the Sheva Dun. The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, appropriate for this week's Parsha, Dun Yadini Mo, Keachat Shiftei Yisrael, that he came from Dun, who was Dun, who was always a Dayan. So that's why he always spoke in such a way. So the Maram Chalava says, well, who cares? Like, what's the big deal? Where the guy came from? Why are we looking into this a little bit? So Maram Chalava says, because there's a chashash when a person starts speaking in such a way, maybe he comes from Avodah Zarah, but he's an Ovdei Avodah Zarah, because Dan also had, Melachim talks about how he had certain offspring who were involved in Avodah Zarah. Maybe the guy was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So they did a little research and said, this guy was a Kasher, yet he came from Dan, but he wasn't an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Miri says, no, there's no real nafkamina. The guy told him he's from Dun, and he wanted to know whether he was right. That was it. But there's no real nafkamina whether or not he came from Dun or not. It was just that's how the Maisa went. So the Gemara then says a similar Maisa. A person would go around and say, Ochiv Yama Asisna Birasa. Which Rashi says, let's go build a palace. Let's go build a big house on the shores of the water. So Badku Vashkihu the Mizvulin Kasu. They did a little research and turns out this person came from Zvulin. The Chassid says about the Shevet of Zvulin, Zvulin Lechof Yomim Yishkon, that Zvulin lived on the Yam Kinneret, on the shores of the Yam Kinneret. So that's why the guys always spoke about, he had his very chaviv tim, the shores of the water. So that's these two interesting maisim about where these people had come from. So now we're getting back to the story of the checking of the Bedikas Chametz. Gemara now says, Hashta, the Kaimulan, the Chuliyama, or Ortuhu. Now we've established yesterday's daf that the or certainly means night, which means or larbasar, the night of the 14th, is when we check for when we do bedikas chametz. So Gemara now says, let's understand this for a moment. Michdit, bein the Rebbe Yehuda, Bein Rebbe Meir, Chametz Eino Aser Ela Mishesh Shos Ulamal. We're going to see in Amud Beis that there's a Mishnah that Meir and Rebbe Yehuda argue at what point you have to burn the Chametz. Is it the fifth hour? Is it the sixth hour? Whatever that is, we'll get to that later on. But everybody agrees, whenever, regardless of when you burn it, it's certainly Aser to have Chametz from the sixth hour and on. The sixth hour, at 12 o'clock, let's say, on a perfect day, let's say Erev Pesach, it's a perfect day, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, the sixth hour of the day, it's Aser to already have Chametz. So where do you know this from? So Gemara says, V'nibdok b'shis. So if it's true, that's also you can't own chametz by the sixth hour of Erev Pesach, why not do bedikas chametz at the sixth hour of the day, at 12 o'clock afternoon? Why do we check it the night before him? V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, zrizim makdim l'mitzvos, that we always try to do mitzvah as early as possible, so then nivdok mitzafra. So why not do it in the morning of the 14th? Why do it the night before him? Where do we know the concept of zrizim makdim l'mitzvos? The Gemara quotes the famous pasuk, dechsiv bayom hashmini bayom yimol basar laso, that you're supposed to give the brismila on the eighth day, and v'tanya koyom kulo kashal mila. You could do the mila on any time during the eighth day, in the morning, the afternoon, whenever you want. However, we try to do the mitzvah as early as possible. Shenemar v'yashkim Avram b'bok, that Avram woke up early in the morning to do a mitzvah. Which mitzvah did he do? The Tosfos talks about which mitzvah. Rashi says it says gavi mila, by the bris mila. He woke up early to do the bris mila. The truth is it doesn't say v'yashkim Avram b'bok by bris mila. He did it either by the Akedah or when he went to Davin after the destruction of Sodom. It says v'yashkim Avram b'bok. Take a look at Tosfos for a second, which v'yashkim Avram Aboker, he thinks that it's referring to here, which one is the source of Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvos. So Tosfos writes, Shenemar V'yashkim Avram Aboker. Vim Tomer, if you're going to tell me, V'heicha Muchach Me'akra, how do you learn from the Pasuk, the Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvos? Vein Makdim M'tfei Mitzafra, not to make it earlier than the morning. Me'vaha, the Perek Tira Nasha, the Gemara in Chulun Daf Tzadi Aleph, learns from this Pasuk, Yalav Rabbi Abo, Me'haikra, from this very Pasuk, he learns, the Talmud Chacham Lo Yetzah Yechidim Alayla. A Talmud Chacham like Avram Avinu should not go out by himself. He should wait till the morning to go out. That's why it says, "V'yashkim Avram Abok." In the morning, he went by himself. But Balayla, Talmud Chacham should not go b'yachidi. Nothing to do with Zrizim Makdimim L'mitzvos. So how come the Gemara Pesachim says it is the source of Zrizim Makdimim L'mitzvos? So Tosfos answers the Yesh Lomar, "The Chacham Muchach Mekra Da'Akeda." This V'yashkim Avram Abok is referring to the mitzvah of the Akeda. That's the source of Zrizim Makdimim L'mitzvos. How do we know? The Lohaya Nimna Avram Milatzes Yachidi Balayla. That when it came to the mitzvah of Akedas Yitzchak, Avram would not have been held back just because it was nighttime. That Talmud Chacham shouldn't go Belayla. There's no concern with Talmud Chacham going Belayla when it comes to a mitzvah. Because the Shluchei Mitzvah Eino Nizokin, we know that when a person's on a mission to do a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that he won't, nothing bad will happen to him. So if he's going to perform the Shlichas of Hashem of the Akedah of the mitzvah, he would be able to go Belayla. V'od, the Shnei Narav Haya Imo. He also didn't go alone. He had two Narim, Yishmael and Yitzhak were with him. So from the Akedah, that's not the source of Nakom Bichidi. U'vehasa Muchach V'yashkim Rav Boker D'chsev Gavei Stom. The source of Nakom Bichidi Belayla, that's from the word V'yashkim Rav Boker by the stone. The Lahaya mitzvah, there's no mitzvah what he was doing there. Yechida Haya, he was by himself. Shlaratza Shiru Bimal Palasim Shastom. He didn't want to see the destruction of stone, so he went by himself. He left Vayashim Ramoki. He left to go not see this, to avoid seeing the destruction. That's where he learned that the Talmud Chacham shouldn't go Yechidi. But by the Akedah, he could have went Yechidi. He was doing a mitzvah. Shluchei Mitzvah Inu Nizokin. So what do we learn from Yashkim Rav Boker? They woke up early in the morning to perform the mitzvah because his reason L'makdim L'mitzvos. Either way, we see that this is the makor of Zrizim Makdim L'mitzvos. So asks the Gemara again, so how come if we're checking the mitzvahs really to check in the afternoon, so why we do it Belayla, do it first thing in the morning, just like Avram did the mitzvah first thing in the morning, so too we should do the Bedika first thing in the morning, why the night beforehand? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, B'shah Shebnei Adam Mutzim B'Bateim. It's a very convenient time. During the morning, everyone's running, the davening, running to work. Nighttime, everybody's home. No one's going anywhere at nighttime. And therefore, since everyone's found, it's a very convenient time to have the mitzvah to make sure it gets done. And further, v'or haner yafal l'bedika. We also know that a candle during the daytime is very, very, you know, it's useless. It's plenty of light from the outside. But when it's nighttime and you go into the corners and the cracks, you're able to see much better. And therefore, one should do this at nighttime for those two reasons. Again, and secondly, there is an interesting Rav Yosef Engel in this Gemara here. He quotes from the Meiri that why we do this reason, Makdim L'mitzvos, he says there are two reasons. Number one is you do all tell me, the Pashup Shot is, it's a higher quality mitzvah. It's a better way to perform the mitzvah. There's one way to just, you know, do mitzvah. Another way is to do the mitzvah with a geschmack, with a passion. That's one reason for doing this reason, makdim mitzvahs. But he says there's a second reason why. The Miri points, le'echos be, I forget exactly the lashon, but le'echos be darchei avos, I think he says. To hold on, to grasp onto the darchei avos. Simply because Avraham Avinu did this, that's why we should do this. Regardless of how it affects the mitzvah, but if our Avraham Avinu did it, and Yitzchak and Yaakov did it, we should do it just simply like we should walk in the derech of Hashem, we should also walk in the derech of the avos, and that's the second reason why one should perform the mitzvah of Zerizim Makdim L'mitzvos. Gemara now says, based on this halacha, that we see that there's a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz balayla, the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, halfway down the Amud here, Hilkach, therefore we can conclude, Haitzuber Mirabban, a Tam Chacham who learned and give shirim, Lo liftoch be'inna be'urta de tleisar. He should not open up, he should not have a shir during the night of the 13th, which means the 13th going into the 14th, really, into the Leil Arbasar, the urta de tleisar de nage Arbasar. The 13th into the 14th, he should not have a shir, should not learn in depth. Duma mashkar le shmaisa, perhaps his learning is going to draw him out, and he's going to forget to do b'dikas chametz, v'asir limnuya b'mitzvah, and prevent him from performing the mitzvah. So therefore, 30 minutes prior to this man of bedika, one should not eat meals, a person should not learn at all, because we want to make sure he performs a mitzvah. The Bach asks the question every night when it comes to Shema. There's a din, a person should not eat a meal 30 minutes before it tastes, before the Zman of a Shema, because he might get engrossed in the meal and forget to do the mitzvah. But there's no din that you can't learn before Shema. How come it's only by bedikas chametz we say, don't learn before bedikas chametz? We should have the same din by Shema. You shouldn't learn every night 30 minutes before Zman Shema. So Bach says, because bedikas chametz is different, it happens once a year. Shema, we're already in the routine of saying Shema every single night. So learning is not going to cause us to forget to say Shema. So we're allowed to learn every single day of the year. Don't have a meal 30 minutes prior to Shema. But B'dikas Chametz, which is once a year, we're not used to it, of course. So if a person learns, he might forget to B'dikas Chametz. It's not part of its routine. And therefore, there's an extra chumrah when it comes to B'dikas Chametz, not to even learn 30 minutes prior. Gemara asks a series of questions related to B'dikas Chametz now. The Gemara says, Boy Minei Mirav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hamaschir bayis lechaveiro. A guy rents out his house to someone else, the tenant to live there. Bar ba'asar, on the 14th. Erev Pesach, they make a deal, it's all yours. Ami livdok. Who should be responsible to check to do bedikas chametz? Al hamaschir, the landlord, livdok di chamir di dehu. Any chametz that's there is his. So if any leftover chametz is his responsibility, so should the landlord be checking the apartment? O dilma al hasocher livdok. Or perhaps the tenant who's living there should check the Isura Birshusa. Now it's his property, so he should be responsible to make sure it's clean of any chametz. So who's responsible? Is it the maschir or is it the socher? Is it the landlord or is it the tenant? So Gemara brings a raya, Toshma. Ha maschir bayis lechavero, al ha socher lasos lo mezuzah. So the Gemara initially attempts to bring a raya from the case of the mezuzah. Who has to put the mezuzah on? Do we say the landlord puts the mezuzah or the tenant puts the mezuzah? And of course we know that the tenant puts the mezuzah. So just like the tenant puts in the mezuzah, the socher puts in the mezuzah, so too one would say that the socher should be the one checking the chametz. And the Gemara says, not true. When it comes to mezuzah, there's a fundamental difference between mezuzah and bedikas chametz. Hasan the Gemara says, Hu amar Rabbi Sharshia mezuzah chobas hadarhu. But hachamai. When it comes to mezuzah, the idea of a mezuzah is to protect the person in there, or perhaps to remind the person who goes in and out of the house that Hashem is watching over him. So it's a chovah sadar, it's a chovah on the one living there, the dar there. When it comes to the chametz, who says it has to do with the person living there? Maybe it has to be with the person who owns the chametz. Maybe in this case, hachamai, what's the halacha by chametz? So Amar Lahu, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak responded, Tanina hamaskir bayis lechaveiro, a guy who rents out his apartment, his house, to his friend. Im ad shelo maser lo maftechos, if he had not yet given the keys over, said chalar baser al maser, then the landlord has to live though. He has to check. If, however, im mishim maser lo maftechos, if the landlord handed the keys over to the tenant, then chalar baser al hasocher live though, and then the tenant has to check. So it depends. Who has the keys? The landlord has the keys. He has to check it. If the tenant has the keys, then the tenant has to check it. Very simple. What's the relevance of checking keys? So the Rashi writes, not here, but Rashi writes elsewhere, that if you look at Tosas, the bottom Tosas in the daf here, imit mishem maser hamafteach. What's the significance of passing over a key? Perish Rashi, the mesiras hamafteachos kona. By you handing over the keys, that finalizes the acquisition, and now, or the rental agreement, and now the guy, he lives there, he's responsible. So it's a form of a kinnin. It's a kinnin of schiris by handing over the key. Tosas asks a serious questions, and a series of questions, and says this is not true. By owning a karka, you have to have kesef shar chazaka. Mesiras mafteach is not an example of a chazaka. So he thinks handing the key has nothing to do with making an acquisition. Rather, what Tosas writes, if you look at the bottom half of Tosas, he says, umefarish ri, dehacha, shemasel mafteach, v'lo hichzik, there is no chazaka. but simply the landlord gave the key over to him. Umisha yesh b'yad maftach kishachal yodalad. Whoever has the key when yodalad, whenever Pesach comes, chayv livdo, he has to check. Why? Nothing to do with the kinyan. To also she'ein b'yad maftach, the guy who does not have the key, eich yichanes b'yivdo. If you have no key, how do you access the apartment? So nothing to do with the kinyan at all. It has to do with who has access to the apartment, and that's what it comes down to. So it becomes an interesting machlokas here between Rashi and Tosis, whether or not handing over a key actually serves as a kinyan. Now, it comes to a discussion that when it comes to kinyanim in general, we know there are a number of kinyanim that are midiraisa. Meshicha, ma'os, giving money, pulling something, hagbah, but there's something else that the Gemara talks about, I forget what it's called, a simtusa, that the Gemara says, whatever is considered the minhag ha'olam, shaking a hand, if it's acceptable, that finalizes an agreement, even though it's not mentioned in the Torah, that itself would be a final acquisition. So part of this machlokas might be whether handing over a key was considered an accepted practice. When you hand the key over from the landlord to the tenant, will that be considered a finalizing of the agreement? That might be part of the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos.
Here, he says also that one option is that that giving the mafteah gives the person the possibility of doing the kinyan.
Not necessarily. You can still do a kinyan. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what it is.
You can still do a kinyan without the key. You can still build a fence and a ditch around it. If you build that something around the house, perhaps.
Right.
Okay, I hear. So then the Gemara says, last few lines of the Amud here, Ba'im Yenei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak HaMaschir Ba'yis L'Chavero. A guy rents his house to his friend, Bar Ba'asar, in the 14th, Cheskasa Baduk, Oein Cheskasa Baduk. Right? Let's say the 14th, let's say, the night of the 14th, I own the property. So my responsibility to check it. Now we make an agreement, the morning of the 14th, it's all yours now. So now when you get the apartment, you buy it, you rent it from me, do you assume that I checked it the night before? And is it a Cheskasa Baduk, Oein Baduk? So the Gemara asks the question, L'may nafkamina, what's a nafkamina? The Shiloh, ask the guy, ask me, I'm a trustworthy guy, ask the landlord, did you check it or not? If you checked it, you believe him, and if he didn't check it, then you should check it on the 14th. So Gemara says, no, it's a case, de lesser lahai, de l'shule, that the guy's not around. The landlord rented you the apartment, he was unavailable, and therefore you had no idea. So do you assume it was checked, or do you assume it wasn't checked? La chuche lahai mai, do we make him, or matriach, the tenant now, because it's a suffix, you should go ahead and inspect it just to be safe, or no? It's safe to assume that the landlord was a trustworthy guy, he fulfilled his responsibilities of checking the apartment, and you don't have to inspect it. So what do we assume? So the Gemara tries to prove in the last few lines here, Amar lehu Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Tanisua. We have a statement in the Braisa that hakol ne'emanim al bir chametz. Everybody is trusted with respect to bir chametz. Afilu nashim, v'afilu avadim, afilu katanim. Women, slaves, and children, although in general there's no ne'manus, or there's very little ne'manus to these individuals, when it comes to bir chametz, everyone's trusted. If they say that it was checked, you trust them that it was checked. My time, why do we trust them? My time of mehemne, going on Daman Beis now. What's the reason why we trust a eved, an isha, katan, when it comes to bir chametz? So the Gemara says, la mishum dechazkaz abadak. Is it not because we assume it was checked? Meaning we don't really rely on them. We don't trust them at all. We assume a person that was checked, and when they say it was checked or not checked, we don't care for what they say, because there's a certain chazaka that a person, when he leaves his apartment, he fulfills his responsibility, and therefore chazkasa baduk. The kasavar we hold hakol chaverim heim etzah bedikas chametz. Everybody's a chaver when it comes to bedikas chametz. Everyone takes bedikas chametz very seriously. We know even the people who are least religious. They take chametz very seriously. They come and they mop and they do much more than really needs to be done. They clean every single corner of the house. Even a person who's am aretz regarding another halacha of Torah, when it comes to bedikas chametz, everyone's considered a chaver, everyone's considered takes it seriously, and we trust them. So therefore, the Gemara says, we assume that it was chazkasa baduk. And the Gemara brings Uriah, how do we know? The Tanya, once we assume a person's a chaver, that person takes a certain area of halacha seriously, we know that he'll never let it leave his property, leave his watch, until it's complete. What's the example? Gemara gives the example always in many places in Shas, the Tanya, a chaver shemes, a person, a chaver is a tam chacham, a person who follows halacha, he dies. V'niach megura mleah peres, leaves over his threshing field full of fruit. So you don't know, did he separate the maisos, chumas maisos? Did he not separate chumas maisos? And the Gemara says, the assumption is, afil hein b'nei yomim, even if you could assess that these were fruits that were picked today, fresh fruit from the tree, and still the assumption, harei hein b'cheskas misukanim, we assume he fixed them. Because there's this assumption that a chaver won't leave the world, however that works, a certain siyata d'shmaya, that a chaver won't leave the world until he took care of his responsibility. His responsibility was to separate chumas and maisos. So therefore, any fruit left over, even b'nei yomim, we assume b'cheskas misukanim. So too, when it comes to b'dikas chametz, where everybody is considered a chaver, nobody will leave his property without first fixing, without first taking care of b'dikas chametz. So we see from all this that we trust a eved, a katan, and a nashim when it comes to b'dikas chametz, and therefore, when the maschir, rent it over to the socher on Yudalar Pesach, Yudalar Nisan rather. We assume it was already checked the night beforehand. The landlord took care of his responsibility. So Gemara says, who said that's the case? Dilma shiny hacha mishum de kamri hani. Maybe when it comes to when we said we trust nashim avadim ketanim, that's only because they said, they articulated that the house is checked. But our case is where the maskir is not around. No one said it was checked. You bought it or you rented it from the maskir. Now you can't ask anybody. No one said it was. When someone says something, you trust them. But when someone doesn't say anything, maybe there's nothing to hang your hat on. So the Gemara says again, Mimai, how do you know you could bring a riot from the case of nashim avadim ketanim? Dilma shiny hacha, maybe that case is different, mishum dekarmi honey, because they said it was checked. So Gemara says, wait a sec. Just because nashim avadim and ketanim said it was checked, that's a worthy reason to accept it? Atu amira dehani midi mashasha isbe. When women, ketanim avadim, say something, they have mashashas, their word carries weight to it? Not true, we don't trust what they say. Nothing to do with it. The reason why we trust them is because cheskas avadim, because a property is always assumed to be checked. Because akol chaverim etzel bir chametz, elamai must be the cheskaso badak. Because the house is checked and nothing to do with what they said. Because even if they said something, we don't trust what they say, and therefore the assumption is cheskaso badak. So Gemara says, wait a second. If the whole reason why we trust the case of nashim avadim and ketanim is because cheskaso badak, that the house is checked and nothing to do with what they said, so then the language of the Gemara seems to be incorrect. Hi hakol ne'manim. The Braisa said everyone's believed. Believed sounds like we trust what they say. It really should say hakol batim. All the houses are bechezkas badukin bar ba'asami bar leitshif. Said the houses are accepted as baduk and nothing to do with that nemanis of nashim avadim and ketanim. So clearly, it does have to do with what the women ketanim and avadim are saying. Elamai must be mishum amira dehani because they said it was checked. So then we trust them. But halo amir. But if they didn't say anything, then the din would be low. It wouldn't work. Meaning the case of the maskir and the socher, where I rented the property on the 14th, and the maskir wasn't available to tell me if it was checked or not checked, then we can't trust it. It's all dependent on the amira, because the Braisa says, I call ne'manim, it has to do with the amira. So Gemara says, lo, tif shav minei de'ein chazkas abadak. So we could assume, therefore, that since the maskir is not around, and he didn't say it was checked, we assume that chazkasko is ein abadak, that the house is not checked, and the socher would have to go ahead and inspect the property. And Gemara says, lo, not true. Li'olam, in reality, a melacha cheskaso badak. Really? A house is assumed to be checked. V'hacha b'mayaskin, what's the case when we say that akol ne'manim, that we have to rely on the statements of the nashim of Adam Ketanim? That's a case with the muchzak lan de'lo badak, where we know that it wasn't checked. I mean, if it was, we don't know any better, it's a safek, the din is, cheskaso badak, we assume that everyone, akol chaverim etzel b'dikas chametz, it's all kosher, it's all inspected. But let's say we knew that for sure, that this person didn't inspect it. There's a certain reisa, there's no chazaka at all. So then there's a reisa, we have to assume that it wasn't checked. But now, even though it wasn't checked, so then the din is, but hachim b'maskin, de muchzak lan de lo badik, we know that it wasn't checked. The kamrei honey, and these people said, but the kinei, we checked it. The women said, the avadim said, the ketan said, we checked it. So in this case, we would actually rely on them. I'll recap everything in just a second. We would trust them if they say it was checked. Mal de seima, what would you have thought? Lo lehemnei rabbanan, that we shouldn't trust them. Just like in general, we don't trust nashim ketanim avadim legabi other areas of nemanis and edus. Here as well, maybe we shouldn't trust them to say that it was checked when we have a chazaka that it wasn't checked. Kamash malam, we say kevin de bedikas chametz midir rabbanan. Since the requirement of bedikas chametz is only a din midir rabbanan, because midiraisa bitul ba'amos, I could see be mevatel my chametz. In which case, I don't have to really check it anymore. But chachamim said midir rabbanan, you should check it anyways. So the requirement of bedikas chametz is only derabanan. So sagilu hemnu ba'amasagilu hemnu rabbanan bederabanan. Since the requirement of bedikas chametz is mederabanan, they said, you know what? Let's be lenient and we'll rely on women. We'll rely on nashim avadim and ketanim. So there's a lot going on here. Let's try to recap everything. So the first thing is, if you don't know whether something was checked or not, leil yidalad, we assume it was checked. Hakol chaverim etzel bedikas chametz. If you know that it was not checked, and then nashim Avadim Ketanim say that it was checked, you're allowed to rely on them. Why can you rely on them? Even though in general we don't rely on them, because since the requirement of Bdikas Chametz is only a din midirabanam, they said it's a derabanam, we can be lenient and trust them in the case of derabanam. Why is it midirabanam? Because in a deraisa level, it's really sufficient to be mevatel, to say I'm be mevatel all the Chametz, and I'll be yotzei my obligation of getting rid of Chametz. Bdikas Chametz is just an added chumrah to make sure it's physically not on my property as well. And since it's derabanam, they trust the women midirabanam. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, how we define the word bitul ba'alma, halfway down Rashi's. What does bitul ba'alma mean? How do you be mevatel something and get rid of your obligation of owning chametz? So Rashi writes, bitul ba'alma, dichsev tashbisu, v'loksev tivaru. It doesn't say to burn chametz. Tashbisu means to get rid of it. There should be no chametz in your property. V'ashbasa b'lev, hu ashbasa. By me saying in my mind, I'm getting rid of it, I can fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu by saying, I don't want to own it anymore. Tosis argues, Tosis is not true. Tashbisu means to burn. You have to burn it. But how? So what's Pshat in the Gemara? What's Bittul? If Bittul isn't Tashbisu, according to Tosos, Tashbisu is to burn something. So what exactly is the mechanism of Bittul, according to Tosos? The Tosos in the bottom goes on to quote from the Reeve that it's a Hefker. There are two ways to get rid of Chametz, according to Tosos. Either you can be Mevatlet through Hefker, not Tashbisu, by being Mafker, my Chametz, I don't own it, it's ownerless, or you could burn it. If I'm going to burn it, that's a Kima of Tashbisu. If I'm Mafker, it's just, there's no mitzvah. I just got rid of it. I have no responsibility. Rashi thinks, no, if you're mafki or chametz, you actually are makai in the mitzvah of tashbisu. So if Tosfos and Rashi have a very, very important machlokas here. Now, there is an interesting chakir brought down by the Minchas Chinuch. He wants to know whether or not...
According to Rashi, even if tashbitu is bitul is also hefker, no?
There could be an overlap of how, in economy, it could be a mechanism of hefker, it could be a kima of tashbisu.
The same mechanism, it's just how...
You wouldn't get a check. You would not get a check of mitzvah, according to Tosfos. Exactly. So now, of course, so the Minchas Chinuch has a following chakira. The mitzvah of tashbisu, is it a requirement to actually do tashbisu, to be mafkrit, or to burn it? Or does it mean that the totsah should be, I have no chametz? Let's say a guy buys a brand new house. Has there been chametz brought into the house at all? Is there a fulfillment of tashbisu? So Minchas Chinuch says, if you think there's a requirement of kum v'yasei, you should go put chametz in your house to be mekayim the mitzvah of burning chametz or to get rid of chametz. But if you assume tashbisu just means that there shouldn't be any chametz in your house, so v'shev yaltas, by you simply buying a brand new house without chametz, you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu even without having to doing anything. That's what the Minchas Chinuch has as chakira. So he says, one afkimin is whether you have to go out and buy chametz to do it, or number two is, are women chayv in this? He says, if it's in v'shev yaltas, that there shouldn't be any chametz in the house, even if you didn't buy any chametz, women are chayv in the mitzvah say v'shev yaltas. But if it's a kum v'yaseh, you have to go out and do something, well, it's a kum v'yaseh, that's a mitzvah say shizman grama. It's time-bound. It's only on the 14th, and women are pater from a mitzvah say shizman grama. So the women would not have to go out of their way to buy the chametz in order to keep behind the mitzvah. But if, again, it's about v'shev yaltas, about not doing anything, and you still get the mitzvah, women are chayv in such types of mitzvahs. Now, there is another tosos here. Let's do one more tosos, because the rest of the Gemara goes pretty smoothly. There's a tosos, Dir Maschah Hemnu. Their tosos writes, Hemnu Rabbanim B'dir Rabbanim, that we trust Nashim, Avadim and Gatanim, when it comes to a Din Dir Rabbanim. So tosos writes, V'afagav, T'chol Davar Shubiyadam, Memnu Le'el Nashim V'Avadim. There's a concept in general, that even B'dir Raisas, we actually trust Nashim. When something's biyada, something is in their capacity to do something, we trust them. A great example, the Gemara in the Tosos and the Daf Beis Mabeis and Gittin talks about women when it comes to Nida, that they could say whether they're Tahor or not. It's a Din Deraisa. How can we trust women? Because the Din is anything biyada, anything that's in their capacity to take care of, we trust them. So V'afagav, D'b'chol Davar, says Tosos, Shu biyadam, that's in their capacity to do, Mehem Nin L'Lashim V'Avadim, we trust them. V'afilu mederaisa, even on a deraisa level, demaisim b'chol yom shanu maminim lisha, we trust women all the time. V'eved al shchita v'hanik or different dinim uperka madir gavei machilas hashenu meusar mashu shesomech alalinin chala, the separating chala, which also achiv deraisa, we trust them that they were mafish chala umaiser. How can we trust them? These are dinim deraisa. Mikomakom gavei bedikas chametz avagav di biyadam. Meaning, there's a klal. If it's biyadam, if it's in their capacity to do, we trust them. So we trust them. So why do we trust them? B'dikas chametz. B'dikas chametz is certainly biyadam. It's in their capacity to check the house. If that's the yesod, we should trust them. The guy that b'dikas chametz, he could certainly clean the house much better than we can. But Tosis writes, nonetheless, mikol makom, even though b'dikas chametz is biyadam, mikol makom I havim mederaisa, if it were to be a deraisa requirement of b'dikas chametz, which it's not, could we said b'deraisa, all you have to do is bittel. But mederaisa, had it been a requirement of b'dikas chametz, we would not trust women. Because cleaning a house, we know, requires a heavy amount of work and incredible dikta gadol. Women are very lazy. So now this certainly has changed nowadays. Women are going to clean the house much better than men. But back then, at least in the times of Tosos, he felt that women were lazy and would not clean the house as much, and therefore we wouldn't trust them. Now, perhaps nowadays, the thing would change, that even if one would assume Dikas Chametz is deraisa, I think the Achron would say, since it's biyadam, we would actually rely on women to state that Bedikas Chametz was done. Okay, back inside the Gemara. Now the Gemara says halfway down the Amud here, a guy rents his apartment, his house out to a guy, and part of the agreement was, I checked it the night before, and everything's checked, you can move in, it's clean. He did a little inspection, and there's chametz here, there's chametz there, and he found that the guy actually didn't check the property. Sima, what's the din? Is this a mekach talos? I rented a property with the assumption that the stipulation that he cleaned the property from chametz, and it wasn't true. Can I claim this a mekach talos and now go back on the deal and say, I don't want the property, take it, it's all yours? So the Gemara says, what's the din? So Tashma, Damar Abai explains, lo mi bai ba'asra, needless to say, in a place, ba'asra, I'll explain that, then I'll read it back inside in just a second. Certain places, they didn't rent a cleaning crew to clean their houses. They did it themselves. They didn't rent a cleaning crew. So needless to say, a place, Ba'asra, back inside the Gemara again, lo mi boy Ba'asra de lo yav agra, where they wouldn't pay schai, they wouldn't pay money, ubadku, de nichale, and they rather, nichale le inish, a person would rather, le kuma mitzvah begufa, he rather perform the mitzvah on his own and not pay a cleaning crew. So needless to say, in the case where they don't rent a cleaning crew, where there's no loss of money for the guy, I want to do the mitzvah, it's like a zuchus, okay, fantastic. I find chametz, great, I get another mitzvah, I'll check the house, I hope I happily check the house, there's no loss of money, he'll get a mitzvah begufa. That certainly won't be a mekach talos in those types of places. Even a place where people do actually hire a big cleaning crew, and he has to now pay money he wasn't expected to pay, people would actually prefer their property to be used, for their money to be used. So not only in a case where they would save, where he wouldn't have to pay money, but even where they would pay money, he had to pay another few hundred bucks out of his pocket, he'd be very happy to do so in order to perform a mitzvah. There is an interesting discussion. This klal is a very interesting sugya throughout, whether a person wants to use money for a mitzvah or not, but they have a discussion in the Achron whether or not this is true of mitzvahs midrabanan as well. Do we say it's only by mitzvah deraisa, I want to use my own money for a mitzvah deraisa, or even do we say by mitzvah midrabanan, a person would like to use his own money? So one of the rais that they bring, that person would like to use his money for even mitzvah midrabanan, let's say you see a lulav and shul, and the guy isn't there. It's a second day of a sukkah. So I the guy's not around, and I want to shake a lulav, so I take his lulav, I'm allowed to take his lulav, and that's permitted. So they point out, wait a second, well, that can't be the first day of Sukkot, because in order to perform the mitzvah on the first day of Sukkot, lekachtem lachem, you have to own it. The guy never gave it to me, so I can only borrow it, would only be shayach on day two or day three. But day two, day three are only a mitzvah midrabanan. So how could I borrow the guy's property, his lulav and esrog, who says that he wants to use his money for me to do a mitzvah? And we see, even by a mitzvah midrabanan, a person actually would like his property to be used for a mitzvah, so they prove from that Ramah that in fact it does apply the nichalei le'inish l'kuma mitzvah b'mamone, even afilu b'mitzvah midrabanan.
Okay, so if you're a sukkah, it wouldn't be battled because it's a mitzvah yeshiva, not to build it. Meaning if you rented a house with sukkah and you got it without it, it wouldn't be mekach talit, or it would be?
Yeah, I'm not sure the case. Tell me, I'll do it afterwards. So Gemara now quotes...
The renter, the
socher. He's happy to use his money to pay $300 or so to
somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else to do it.
He still has to pay the other guy.
He rented the property. He rents the property. The property, the deal is still good. The lease is still good. And he needs to pay $300 to a cleaning crew to clean the property to be able to sit there for Pesach. So Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. I mentioned before, there's machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. At what point a person needs to stop eating chametz or burning chametz? So the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah tells us this is a Mishnah later on in the Masech, the Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chamesh V'Sorfin B'Tchias Sheish, that you're allowed to eat chametz all of the fifth hour, but the moment the sixth hour comes, you burn the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba, you eat the entire fourth hour, however, Tolin Kol Chamesh, the fifth hour you don't eat, but you don't burn either. You're told, and you kind of, it hangs and it's suspended. No eating, but no burning. And then sorfin b'tchiyah sheish, and then you burn it at the sixth hour. So they both agree you burn it at the sixth hour. Everybody's in agreement at the sixth hour, which is again chatzos, at 12 o'clock, Erev Pesach. Everybody agrees at that point there's an isser chametz. Minolan, what's the source? How do you know this? So Amar Abai says, Trey Kroy Ksiva, the two psukim. Ksivit says one pasuk shivas yamim sor lo yemet sabit batechem, that the 7 days of Pesach you should not find any sor, any chametz in your house. Uksiv hach ach b'yom arishon tashbisu sor mi batechem, on the first day you should get rid of the chametz. So we already mentioned you can't have chametz on all the 7 days. What's being added by is emphasizing the first day. It must be haketal the rabbos arba asar lebir to the Biyom HaRishon referring to Er Pesach. It's an extra pasuk. Even Er Pesach already at that point is when a person should get rid of his chametz. So that's an Er Pesach, the requirement of the Isser Chametz. The Isser Chametz already Er Pesach. So Gemara says, so how do you know it means the 6 hour of Er Pesach? Ema, the rabbis, Leile Chamisha Asar Labir. Maybe it's telling us you should burn the chametz the night of the 14th, the night before him. The Sakadaita Chamina, I would have thought Yamim Ksiv, Yamim In, Leilis Lo, Kamash Velam, Afilo Leilis, because the Pasuk says Yamim, you have to burn it Shivas Yamim, but maybe the nighttime there would be no obligation. If it comes along, this is all in the Havmina, maybe Achbe Marishon comes to say that the Laila, the night of the 14th, already at that point, should be Asr and Chametz. Who says it's the sixth hour of the daytime? So Gemara says, Lo Itzrichla, you don't need to tell me. There's no real Havmina that there should be an Isr the night before, and why not? Going on to Daf Hey, we'll go down a few lines here. Da iskish hashbasas seor lachilas chametz. There's a hekish between hashbasas seor, getting rid of chametz, to eating chametz. Vachilas chametz lachilas matzah. And to the isr of eating chametz is connected to the mitzvah of eating matzah. Hashbasas seor lachilas chametz. Where do you see the connection of getting rid of chametz to the isr of eating chametz? Dichsev shivas yamin seor lo yimatzah b'otechem ki chol ochel machmetz v'nichrasa. So we see that not having chametz is connected to not eating chametz. V'achilas chametz, eating chametz, v'achilas matzah, d'chsev kol machmetzetz lo socheilu b'chol moshosechem tochlu matzah. So you shouldn't eat chametz, but you should eat matzah. So we see that there's a parallel between iser chametz and eating matzah. U'chsev it says b'matzah, b'erev tochlu matzah, in the erev about the eating of the matzah. So we see just like the eating of the chametz, the eating of matzah rather, is on the night of the 15th, so to the iser chametz is also of the night of the 15th. And therefore what? One second. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Achilas chametz, achilas matzah, 3 lines down, Misha shechayv lecho matzah, hizir shelo lecho chametz. Dichsev, kol machmetzes lo socheilu b'chol moshosechem, tochlu matzos, uksib be'erev tochlu matzos, al mazman achilas matzah, v'isr chametz, v'ashpas esor, misha chashecha. It's all at night time, so no one would ever thought that there's no isr belayla. It certainly is belayla. So it can't be that it's coming to include layla. Meaning, how did mean it was that when it said Bayom, Bayom meant the Isser of Chametz only exists the day of the 15th, and Ach, Bayom HaRishon is coming to include the night of the 15th, where it says, no, the night of the 15th already is included in the Isser. Because if the mitzvah of eating matzah is the night of the 15th, that means the Isser of eating Chametz is also the night of the 15th. What was Ach, Bayom HaRishon coming to include? It must be the 14th, it's something to include on the 14th. So that's where we know the 14th is an Isser Chametz. But still, Ema l'rabos leil yudal l'bir. Maybe it goes so far back as the night of the 14th already should be the isser of having chametz. Gemara says, can't be. It says, bayom ksiv, it says the daytime, only the day of the 14th is when the isser of chametz kicks in. Okay, well if it's a day, maybe Ema b'tzafer, maybe the morning, maybe first thing in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, there should be an isser of owning chametz on Er Pesach. Ach chalik. The word ach is always coming to divide something. So yes, bayom means sometime during the day of the 14th is isser chametz. Ach means to divide it. We divided the sixth hour of the day. That's when the Isser Chametz kicks in. Okay, we'll stop here, and Mitzvah Shem will continue tomorrow. Let's do tomorrow after 7. Let's go. Yeah, let's do after 7. Yeah.